Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are, all aboard to the Saints game this weekend in New Orleans to talk about everything with the Browns. What do the next 8 games mean? What did Jed Wills mean? What does it all mean? We'll get existential with him. Albert Breer of the MMQB joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Not a whole lot. Did you hear what Jed Wills had to say earlier this week in Berea about just some playing time and some things that have gone down?
I did not hear that, no.
No, that's good, because we're going to play it for you real quick. There are many more tentacles to this. He has like seven questions and answers, but this is just kind of the beginning of him talking about the process that led to him getting benched. Here we go.
I mean, you'd started the first 57 games every time you were healthy.
Yeah.
So how shocking was this to not?
I mean, it was pretty shocking. I mean, I decided myself that I made a business decision not to play after the Bengals game going into that Ravens game because I was injured. And then the next week is when I received the news. So, I mean,
do you think that they misinterpreted the business decision?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
So have you ever heard a player use the phrase business decision to open media in the locker room while discussing a decision not to play?
So, like, I didn't hear all of that, guys, because there was a ton of background noise, but I think I got the gist of it, that he made the call on his health based on business considerations. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not great. I think that happens sometimes, especially when guys are in contract years. And certainly we're seeing lots of business decisions being made at the college level now. So these things do happen, but to verbalize it, it's a bad place to be when a player feels comfortable doing that.
Should the Browns cut him for something like this, or what do you do moving forward if you're the Browns?
Cutting him, I think, would be the wrong move. Because I think you still want to kind of give this thing a chance to rectify itself. And that's a really hard position to fill, guys. You know, I know Jed Wills hasn't lived up to all they'd hope he'd become, as their left tackle. But, when he's been at his best, he's been a pretty competent one. And it's really, really hard to find a good one. And I almost look at it like a quarterback, right? Like, you're going to give a quarterback a ton of different chance. Like, when you draft a quarterback high, you're going to give him a ton of chances to get it right. And I sort of think it has to be the same thing with a guy at that position, at the left tackle position, that you have to get it right. That you have to give it every chance to rectify itself and give yourself every chance to get it right at that spot.
Albert, we were talking about the Saints game earlier and how, quite frankly, this is probably the easiest game left on the schedule, outside of the fact that it's on the road here. And it just feels like you're coming off the bye. You've got rest. I think they're starting to get healthy at some positions. This kind of feels like a must-not-lose game, even if we're not going to call it a must-win. Is that a fair thing to say about this Browns-Saints game?
I mean, I don't know if must-win exists anymore. I don't think they're going to the playoffs, but if you want to look at it that way, I guess you could. I think the rest of the year is important just to continue to, have the right culture there. And they have had a good culture there over the last few years, despite some of the outside factors that have come into the locker room. And I don't think that you get to the playoffs under the circumstances they were in last year without a good culture. So I think beyond like postseason considerations, whatever it is, think having a locked-in football team is going to be is really important the rest of the year, because all that progress that you made in building it to where it is, you know, over Kevin Stefanski's first 4 years, can really be compromised if, you know, the team is just playing out the string and you have guys making, as Jed Wills said, business decisions on their availability. You know, I think you want to, at the very least, like, find a way to maintain the sort of environment and culture that you've had over the last few years. And, you know, to me, like, that'd be the most important thing. That'd be the thing that I'd be trying to really protect if I were the Browns.
How do the Browns, do you feel like they'd balance out the idea that Stefanski's got to win games? Like, he has to win games. But also, you are playing for draft position. How do you think that balance works? And how do we, as fans sitting here watching this, perceive some of their moves in regards to that?
Well, if you're Kevin Stefanski, you can't worry about draft position. It's not your first year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, I don't think that that's a consideration at all. If you're a fan, yeah, I mean, I think you certainly consider it. I think part of the problem here, guys, when you are talking about draft position, is the year that you're in also. You know, as I've started to ask around about next year's draft, it sounds pretty bleak at the top. You know, there may not be a quarterback worthy of going in the top 10. Carson Beck hasn't played well. I mean, Shedeur Sanders is a tad limited physically, and there are obviously questions about what's around him. You know, Quinn Ewers, is he just a guy? I think some people feel that way. You know, I don't think Cam Ward suddenly become like a high first round pick after, you know, being a sixth or seventh rounder coming into the year. So, you know, I think you look up and down, you see that, you know, that element. And then even at other positions, you know, like Travis Hunter's an amazing athlete, you know, but is he elite at either one of those positions? I don't know. That's something they're gonna have to suss out in the process. Tedaro McMillan from Arizona, the receiver, he'll go up there high. Is he worthy of a high pick? And then even the linemen, like, you know, Will Campbell from LSU, there are plenty of people that think he's a guard and not a tackle. And then, you know, you get Kelvin Banks, who got his ass kicked against Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's just like all of these names that, and I know I'm kind of long-winded here, but like all these names that you go through of guys that should be, you know, or have been expected to go at the top of the draft, you're really not seeing like, okay, like there's a real difference maker. You know, maybe an Abdul Carter from Penn State, or, you know, Jalen Walker or Michael Williams from Georgia. But it doesn't look like it's the best year to have a high pick in the draft anyway.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about it at 420, like that idea mixed with the idea that the four quarterbacks that have played from this most recent draft class, Drake Mays looked great recently. Bo Nix was within a field goal beating the Chiefs. I think Sean Payton's got to be really happy with what's going down there. Jaden Daniels, we all know. And then Caleb gets in the wrong spot. Bears fire their offensive coordinator today. But it really does kind of feel like if you have the right offensive coordinator or the right head coach with an offensive philosophy, it felt like with last year's draft, Albert, they're able to make something out of these guys. And I wondered if that would maybe transition into this year's draft, where you mentioned like Carson Beck and some of these other guys. They're not the world's most talented quarterbacks, but if you have a good offensive mind, maybe they feel like they can make something out of it.
I mean, maybe. I still think you want a baseline talent, though. I mean, this is starting to feel to me, and again, I may have egg on my face in 6 months. We'll see. This feels a little bit to me like the 22 quarterback draft class, where that was Kenny Pickett and you know, it's Kenny Pickett and Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder and those guys. You know, like, I think that's sort of where we're at. Now, could that change? Sure. Could someone get hot over the last month of the season and that person be somebody? Like, Carson Beck's got, like, physical ability. You know what I mean? He's got traits. Like, you know, I would say, you know, Shedeur Sanders, like, has a lot of stuff that you really like. So, like, some of that stuff still needs to be kind of investigated and seen up close and studied and all of that. But I mean, right now it does not look like a very good quarterback class. And I'd be pretty surprised if we're talking about this quarterback class in anywhere near the same sort of way we were talking about last year's quarterback class when we get to April.
Albert, you've mentioned that the Browns, they're going to try and win here, right? What happens if they go, cause this is a tough schedule after the Saints game. What happens if they're trying to win and they go, 0-8 down the stretch here?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, they'd have a higher draft pick. so you can roll the dice on one of those guys I just killed. I think that that could leave a mark with the program, you know, and I think it's important to remember, like, that this is a team that won in borderline impossible circumstances last year. You lose Nick Chubb for the year. You were down to your fourth and fifth tackle. You went through five quarterbacks. The receivers weren't healthy at points. Like, it was just a complete mess in so many ways from an injury standpoint. And they found a way to win 11 games and go to the playoffs. And so, again, you don't do that without good culture. And I think, you know, for all the stuff that's happened the last 4 years, Kevin Stefanski's built something in that locker room that I think, you know, has given them a chance to ride things out. And so, you know, if you can't show that same resiliency this year, then maybe it looks a little bit different going into 2025. So I think that's what's on the line, is sort of some of the things you built, the culture you built, and what it looks like in 2025.
Albert, let me ask you about the Bears and everything that happened with Shane Waldron. They're obviously moving off of him as the OC. Why does it seem like Caleb Williams is regressing?
And there are a number of different reasons. Maybe he's a little bit more raw than they thought when he was coming out. So, like, that goes to, you know, like the normal NFL quarterback things that guys who come from spread offenses generally struggle with. So, you know, it's calling a play in the huddle. It's making adjustments at the line. It's doing all of these things that you don't see quarterbacks out of that system doing. So as a result of that, like, they have tried to give him easy throws, easy reads, get the ball out of his hands fast. And, you know, I think to some degree doing that has taken away from his playmaking ability. So I think they're sort of like lost in the middle right now. And, you know, I think they still really believe in him. And it's not like he can't learn the stuff that I just mentioned. He can learn it. Like, he just doesn't know it now. And, so that's sort of where they're at. And I think this is, I think he's still going to be a really, really good NFL quarterback, but I think maybe he had a little bit more of a ways to go than a lot of people thought coming into the pros. And, you know, I think that part of the reason why you change offensive coordinators now is you're looking for a different sort of path out of that.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, I don't know if you know this. The Ravens and Steelers seem to be really good at football. If you had to guess right now, who do you think has a better chance at representing the AFC North in the Super Bowl, the Steelers or the Ravens?
I mean, I'd say the Ravens just because I have more confidence in their quarterback. I think they're probably a little bit more well-rounded. The Steelers defense has played off the charts, you know, and the formula they'd be riding is a little bit more of like an old school formula to get there. I just don't know. Is their offensive line going to hold up? Is Russell going to look the same as the season wears on? Are they going to have enough at receiver? There are all these questions on offense. And to be fair, the Ravens have a lot of questions on defense. I have confidence the Ravens are going to figure those out, you know, like, because they've shown a real ability to figure those sorts of things out, you know, over the years. And so I have more confidence in the Ravens to do it than the Steelers. But the Steelers have been really, really impressive. And I do think you're seeing some things
from them and have seen some things from them over the last couple of weeks that, you know, like the ability to close games out, the big plays they're making, the throw Wilson made to George Pickens, the stop that Minkah Fitzpatrick and Devontae Casey made on Zach Ertz at the end of that game. Like they're showing some things that, you know, should translate to January. It's just we have more proof of concept with the Ravens right now.
Albert, my guy JP over here, drove around 30 minutes after dropping his wife and daughter off at dinner because he didn't want to valet park. He did find a parking spot. What would be the longest you would wait?
So wait, he drove around because he didn't want to valet park. He drove around for 30 minutes.
I didn't know the parking would be that bad, though. Literally, it got crowded. I thought it was going to be like a five-minute deal. Albert, it took me a half hour.
Yeah, so what I generally do in that situation, like if I'm at one of my kids' tournaments or whatever, I will try to find somebody who's parked like in a random spot on the grass somewhere. And then, like, if they haven't been towed, then that makes it okay and park right next to them. And I think everybody who's been in those situations understands what I'm explaining there. I don't know. I get real frustrated with that, guys. I hate, like, hell to me is a parking lot at a mall in December. Hell on earth is trying to find a parking spot in those situations. So I don't have as much patience for it as some people. I don't know if I would wait a half hour. I think it sort of depends on the situation. Explain to me the situation again. What was
If it helps, I didn't know it was going to be a half hour. It was Little Italy. It was packed, but I thought it'd be like a five-minute deal, and then it just kept going, and it just would not end. And I told my wife, I'm like, just order and eat. Just start eating without me if you have to.
Did you have to get creative? Like was it just somebody left their spot? You took it.
I circled around long enough, and then somebody eventually left. But we're going through like little neighborhoods of Cleveland, essentially, and it just took way too long.
Oh well, trust me. Like I lived a good portion of my adult life in like Boston proper, so like parking there is a disaster, like a complete disaster. Like I mean, it's like $300 or $400 a month for a parking spot if you want one. And that's like not in a garage. That's like in a lot behind someone's building, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually lived in the North End, which is Boston, Little Italy. And I can remember, you know, like we would have, I would want to throw rocks through the window of people who are parked in residence spots at like New Hampshire Place or Rhode Island Place. So I've definitely been there before. And those areas, like those Little Italy areas that are packed with restaurants, are way worse than everywhere else, too.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Albert Breer there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I think it kind of backed you up. It's a very frustrating experience. Do you feel validated? That sounded like a very condescending question. I meant it in a good way. Like, that's a win for Team Jonathan is a win for Team Nick. That's
right. But he also confirmed, I just can't go to Little Italy on Saturdays now. That's just the new thing. We just avoid it completely until it dies down a little bit. He's going to avoid it completely.
We'll react to what our guy Albert had to say about your Browns next on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.